Well, thank you once again to our sister Kelly for coming and singing for us. And may the Lord bless those messages to every heart. And each one will know what it is to have Christ as your Saviour. And know what it is to be living by the Word of God day by day. We thank our sister for coming. And trust the Lord will bless her and use her as she sings for the Lord, as the Lord would lead her and guide her. Now we're turning again to Hebrews chapter number 1. To that passage of Scripture we read earlier. And with God's Word open before us, let us bow just in a brief word of prayer. Father, we thank Thee for Thy presence with us already in our gathering. We pray that Thou wilt draw near, O God. Intensify that sense of Thy presence, O God. Pour out Thy Holy Spirit upon preacher and upon congregation alike, we pray. And we pray that Thou wilt speak with the voice that wakes the dead, and with that voice, O God, that makes the people hear. O God, we pray that Thou wilt bless Thy Word to the strengthening, Lord, of every believer in Christ. But, O God, we think of this gospel meeting in particular, that Thou would use Thy Word, O God, tonight, to make souls wise unto salvation. Do Thine own sovereign work, Lord, and by the preaching of the gospel of Christ, pour out Thy Spirit upon preacher and upon congregation alike, and give help and give wisdom, clarity, plainness, simplicity of speech, we pray. And Lord, bless and own Thy Word tonight, we pray. For we ask it all in our Saviour's great name. Amen. Our text for this evening, we want to look at as a little phrase of Scripture that you find there in the middle of verse number 3 of Hebrews chapter 1. It is simply these words where it says there, when He had by Himself purged our sins. When He had by Himself purged our sins. And the person spoken of here in verse 3 is none other than the Lord Jesus Christ. If you look at the first two verses of the chapter, there the writer to the Hebrews speaks to us of the Lord Jesus, the Son of God. And he tells us how He is the heir and the creator of all things. He says, God, who at sundry times and in divers manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by His Son, whom He hath appointed heir of all things, and by whom also He made the worlds. And there He reminds us that all things are created for the glory of Christ, and that Christ is one who is all powerful. He made this very world. Also, if you look at the beginning of verse number 3 of the chapter there, the writer goes on to speak further of Christ, and he tells us how He is the brightness of His Father's glory, how He is the express image of His person, how He is the one who upholds all things by the word of His power. He says of Christ, who being the brightness of His glory and the express image of His person, and uphold of all things by the word of His power. And there He speaks to you and I about the deity of Christ. He is the revelation of God. He is the express image of God and God's glory. He tells us there how Christ is one who is sovereign over all. He is one who holds the universes in the hollow of His hand. He is the one who is almighty and the one who is all-powerful. And at the end of verse number 3, where our text is found tonight, he goes on here to show us that Christ's chief work on earth was that of purging away sin. He speaks of Christ in our text, and he says, when He had by Himself purged our sins. That word purge there, it really means to cleanse. And my Christ, the sinless Son of God, He left heaven's glory. He came to this earth, to this world, to the scene of time, to purge, or if you like, to cleanse away a man's sin before God. And this He accomplished by His own death, and by His own sacrifice, and by the shedding of His own blood upon the cross of Calvary. Praise God, there was nothing left undone in that work. It is a completed work. For on the cross, Christ cried out, it is finished.
You'll notice again what the writer to the Hebrews says of Christ at the end of verse number 3. He says He has sat down on the right hand of the Majesty in high. My, when a person sits down from their work, they sit down to rest because their work is finished, because their work is completed. And here you see that all that was necessary for the purging, the cleansing away of man's sin, was provided in the person and in the work and in the sacrifice and in the shedding of the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior. And tonight, as we would look at this little text, friends, it is this matter of the purging away of sin that I want you to consider. Friend, if you are to be saved, if your life is to be right with God, if you are to be sure of heaven, then before God, your sins must be purged, or as it says in our text, purged away by Himself, cleansed away by the Lord Jesus Christ. Your sins must be purged away. Tell me tonight, can you say, yes, my sins are purged away? First of all, I want you to see here the necessity of this purging. By this purging away of sin is something that is needed by all. In verse 3 there speaks of our sin, says the writer. And that shows to you that sin is a reality that affects all. The Bible says, for there is none righteous, no, not one. Every member of the human race has been affected by sin. Sin has come upon all through Adam's fall in the Garden of Eden. The Bible says, for as by one man's disobedience, many were made sinners. My, sometimes you hear of diseases being contagious, maybe something like cholera or typhoid. And a few years ago, there was a lot of talk in the media about swine flu. Well, friends, sin is a spiritual disease of the heart. And from Adam's fall in the Garden of Eden, that sin has spread across the entire human race. Therefore, you and I, because of Adam's fall, were born into this world with a sinful heart and with a sinful nature. The Bible says about the heart of man that the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. You and I were born into this world with a deceitful, sinful heart. With a heart, the Word of God says, that is desperately wicked. Yes, all in this gathering tonight were born into this world with sin in our hearts. Therefore, every single one of us in this gathering before us tonight, my, we need this purging away of our sins. There is no exemptions. There is no exception here in this matter of the purging away of sin. Oh, my friend, may you realize tonight that the need of this purging for sin is expressed all the more, and it is emphasized all the more when you consider the effect of sin in your life. What is sin? What is the effects of sin? My, your sin is the transgression of God's law, the breaking of God's law. John says sin is the transgression of the law. Just as a criminal would break the law of the land, all sin is the breaking of God's holy law. My, because of our sinful nature, every single one of us in this meeting have broken the law of God. The Bible says all we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way. And my, as well as breaking God's holy law, my, your sin is described in the Bible as coming short of the glory of God. Paul, writing to the Romans, said, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And my, this means the best you can do or ever be, my, it still will come short of God's holy standard. It will still come short of God's glory. You see, the Bible says all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags in the sight of God. And the best that you can ever be yourself, or the best that you can ever do, might will still come short of God's standard and come short of God's glory. My, years ago, whenever children were learning to write, the teacher would have scolded them if they did not write to the line in their page. Well, friend, you and I and all the rest of mankind have come short of God's glory, all because of our sinful nature, all because of our sinful heart. But my, as well as breaking God's holy law, as well as coming short of God's glory, friend, your sin grieves God. All sin is grieving to God. Your sin, it separates you from God. My, your sin, it robs you of peace with God. Your sin prevents you from serving God and worshiping God as you should. And my, sadly and solemnly, most of all, your sin condemns you to eternal punishment and to eternal judgment and hell whenever you come to die and to leave the scene of time. The Bible says, sin when it is finished bringeth forth death. Turning your Bible, please, back to Luke's Gospel and to the chapter number 16 and to the verses 22 and 23. Here the Lord Jesus Christ is speaking. He tells us about a certain rich man. And this man died in his sin. And look at the effect of his sin in eternity. It says there in verse 22, Christ is speaking. It says, and it came to pass, the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. But the rich man also died and was buried. And in hell he lift up his eyes, being in torments. Have you ever thought, why did he die and go to hell? Have you ever thought, why did he lift up his eyes in torments? Because of his sin. Because his soul was cut off from God in the lake of fire in a lost eternity where the worm dieth not and where the fire is not quenched. Because of his sin, his soul was cast out into outer darkness where there is weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth. Friend, if you die in your sin, this is where your soul also will go. This is where you also will spend eternity. You will lift up your eyes in hell, being in torments for all of the countless years of God's great eternity. Oh friend, this is why you need your sins purged away. If not, your sin will condemn you, and your sin will consign you to a lost eternity and hell itself. Yes, we see the need of this purging. But secondly, tonight I want you to consider the character of this purging. Look again at our text. It says of the Lord Jesus Christ, he by himself purged our sins. And this really means that it is by his sacrifice and by the blood of Christ shed upon the cross that Christ provided a way for man's sin to be purged and to be cleansed away from before Almighty God. Over in Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 26, we read of Christ there, and it says, but now once in the end of the world hath he appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. Sin can only be purged and cleansed and put away by the sacrifice of himself, by the blood shedding, and by the sacrifice of Christ upon the cross. The Bible speaks of Christ and says, this man offered one sacrifice for sins forever. The Bible says the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin. My, it is only through the blood of Christ shed at Calvary that the stain of man's sin and the stain of sin upon his soul can be cleansed away from before Almighty God. Praise God, we must say the blood of Christ, yes, can reach deeper than the stain of any sin, whatever that sin may be before God. My, speaking of the cleansing away of our own sin through the blood of Christ, the hymn writer said, Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe, sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow. She could testify of her sins been washed away, of her black heart been made clean and white through the blood of the Lamb before Almighty God. Dear friend, in our meeting tonight, young or old, unsaved, let me say this. that if your sins are to be purged away, if the stain and the guilt of your sin upon your soul is to be blotted out from before God, then you must trust in the blood of Christ alone for that cleansing. That's the message of the gospel. By faith alone, as a repentant sinner, you must ask the Lord to blot out your sin. You must ask the Lord to cleanse away your sin by His precious blood. Tell me, have you ever come to the Lord? Have you ever trusted the Lord? Have you ever asked the Lord to deal with your sin and to cleanse it and to purge it away from before the sight of God? You know, this is something that the Lord invites you to do. Dear sinner, this is something the Lord exhorts you to do. And many are the invitations, many are the calls of God to you, unsaved, to come to Him for this cleansing, this purging away of your sin. You turning your Bible back to the Old Testament, to Isaiah chapter 1. And here you have one of these great invitations for you to come to the Lord. Have your sin cleansed away by His blood. You'll find it in Isaiah chapter 1. And in the verse number 18 of the chapter. Here the Lord is speaking Himself. And here He says, "Come now, and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. And though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool." Now the Lord is calling, the Lord is exhorting, the Lord is inviting you to come to Him, that your sins, even though they may be as scarlet sins in the sight of God, may be blotted out, they might be cleansed away, that your soul would be made clean in the sight of God through the blood of the Lamb. Dear friend, the Lord Himself promises to purge away your sin, if you will but trust in Him. And but trust in His blood alone for the cleansing away of your sin. The Lord says, "I, even I, am He that blotteth out thy transgressions for thine own name's sake, and will not remember thy sins." That's the Lord's promise. His promise will not fail. It cannot fail. He promises to blot out your sins, to cleanse away your sins, to purge your soul, that you come to Him by faith as a repentant sinner and trust Him as your Savior. Friend, let me make it clear to you that there is no other remedy for your sins to be purged away than through the blood of Christ. There's no other remedy. And my, if any preacher or any minister or any pastor or any priest or any organization of men or any church would tell you that there's another way of cleansing, and I tell you tonight, such are of the spirit of Antichrist himself. Such are not of God. For God says in His word, "It is the blood that maketh atonement for the soul." Only the blood of Christ can blot out your sin before God. The Bible says, "Without shedding of blood is no remission." My, apart from the blood of Christ being applied by faith to your heart, you can never know the remission of your sins in any other scheme of man. No matter who that person is, no matter what that organization might be, they tell you you can have your sins put away some other way. That person, that scheme is of the spirit of Antichrist himself. It is not of God. It is not of this book, the Bible, before us this evening. Only the blood and the blood of Christ can deal with man's sin. Friend, without the shed blood of Christ being applied by faith to your soul, there can be no purging away of your sin for you. The blood must be applied. Turning your Bible over to Isaiah chapter number 53. Isaiah chapter 53. Look with me at verses 4 and 5 of the chapter. Henry Moorhouse, that famous evangelist of a bygone day, was counseling a young girl about her way and her need of salvation, and he took her to these two verses. And he read them with her, and it's all about Christ, this whole chapter, and His sacrifice upon the cross. And he says in verses 4 and 5 there, it says of Christ, "Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed." Mr. Moorhouse read those verses with that young girl. He says, "I want you to read those two verses again. Only this time I want you to put in the word I and my in place of the words we and our." And that's what the young girl did. And she read these two verses like this as she read them. She said in verse 4, "Surely he hath borne my griefs and carried my sorrows. Yet I did esteem him stricken, smitten of God and afflicted. But he was wounded for my transgressions. He was bruised for mine iniquities. The chastisement of my peace was upon him, and with his stripes I am healed." She recognized as she read those words that Christ died on the cross for her sin, that Christ paid the penalty for her salvation, that he shed his blood for her. As a young girl, she repented of her sins and put her faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. Yes, maybe you assent to the fact of history that Christ has come and that Christ has died upon the cross. But tell me, are you willing to assent before God tonight that he died on the cross for your sins and that he shed his blood for your iniquities? And by his stripes and by his blood shedding, he died to provide a way for you to be saved. Have you ever come to Christ and owned him and trusted him as your Savior? Friend, there is no hope for you if you turn your back upon the Lord Jesus Christ and you trample under your feet the blood of Christ as the only means of purging and dealing and taking away of your sin. Yes, the necessity of this purging, the character of this purging. Notice finally tonight the outcome of this purging. My, you know, whenever God purges a sinner through the blood of Christ, what does he do? He pardons all their sin. Listen to what is said in Hebrews chapter number 8 and the verse number 12. The Lord says, "For I will be merciful to their unrighteousness, and their sins and their iniquities will I remember no more." And my friend, when you trust in Christ and his blood for cleansing, God will pardon all your sins. The Bible says there is therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. Someone has once said, "The cross is the cost of my forgiveness." And God will forgive all your sins if you trust him. You trust his blood for cleansing. Something else, there is restoration to fellowship with God. The Bible says we're made nigh unto God. We who once were afar off by the blood of Christ. The Bible says that God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself. You think back to the end of the 1980s, was it, whenever the Berlin Wall came down? East Berlin and West Berlin were reunited after years of separation through the evil system of communism. Well, friend, whenever you trust in Christ's blood for the cleansing away of your sin, you will have God as your friend and as your heavenly Father for all of eternity. The Bible says nothing shall separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus. You'll be reconciled to God and you'll know God as your heavenly Father. You turn back there to Luke's Gospel chapter 15. And there you have the parable of the prodigal son returning. And what a picture is there of reconciliation for the sinner through Christ. He left home, he'd sinned against his father, he'd spent his substance in riotous living, yet he repented and he came back. And notice the reconciliation with the Father in verse 20 of Luke's Gospel chapter 15. It says, "And he arose," that's the prodigal son returning and repenting. And it says, "And he came to his father, but when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him." My, it was the kiss of reconciliation.
between the Father and the Son. Dear friend, if you kiss the Son of God, if you trust the Lord Jesus Christ, you'll be reconciled with God for all of eternity. Something else, when your sins are purged away, God will give you grace to succor you in your time of need. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 2, verse 18 of Christ, it says, "For in that he himself hath suffered being tempted, he is able to succor them that are tempted or tried." Christ is the sympathizing Savior. And my, when you trust him as Savior, his grace is sufficient to help you in every need. He says, "My grace is sufficient for thee." The hymn writer says, "His grace has no measure, his power has no boundary, known unto man." Such is the grace of God. Something else, when your sins are purged away, the Lord will save you from hell. He'll save you from the wrath to come. He'll fit you for heaven, and one day he will take you to heaven. When you die in Christ, your soul departs to be with the Lord immediately in heaven's glory forever and ever. And when the Lord comes back again, your body will rise from the grave and be reunited with your soul in heaven for all of eternity. Turn in your Bible over there to Hebrews chapter 12. Look at verses 22 and verses 23. And here the writer to the Hebrews speaks of the believer going to heaven. Look at what he says in Hebrews 12 verses 22 and 23. He says, "But ye are come unto Mount Zion, and unto the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and to an innumerable company of angels, to the general assembly and the church of the firstborn, which are written in heaven, and to God the judge of all, and to the spirits of just men made perfect." Oh, when you're saved, you're going to Mount Zion. As the hymn writer says, we're marching to Zion. Beautiful Zion, that beautiful city of God. My, you can look forward to a heavenly home. My, John says, when he shall appear, that's Christ, we shall be like him. For we shall see him as he is. In heaven there'll be no sin, there'll be no sickness, there'll be no sorrows, there'll be no tears. My, the curse of sin will not be there. It will be eternal glory and eternal bliss to be with the Lord forevermore. Why, it's only for those whose sins are purged away by the blood of Christ. There was once a Maori chief from New Zealand, and he was visiting in London. He was a Christian. And a friend took him around the city of London, showing him all the great sights of that city and all the great stately homes and mansion houses. And the chief commented as he saw all these things that his father's house of many mansions was greater than all that he had seen. My, that Maori chief, that Christian, he was looking forward to heaven. And what has the Lord promised to all who trust him, to all whose sins are purged away by his own blood? He says, "In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you." Man, woman, young person in our meeting tonight, whoever you are, you come by faith to the Lord Jesus Christ, repenting of your sins, confessing your sins to God. You ask the Lord to cleanse and to purge away your sins by his blood. Praise God, the Lord will take you at his word. He will save you. He will forgive your sins. And he will take you one day to heaven. Has your sins been purged away by the blood of Christ? The waters of baptism cannot purge away your sins. Sitting at the Lord's table cannot purge away your sins. Membership of this church or any other church cannot purge away your sins. Friend, your sins can only be purged away by the blood of Christ. Oh, if you're not saved, I urge you, I plead with you this night to come to Christ, to trust him. Ask him to cleanse you in his precious blood, to save you for all of eternity, and to fit you for heaven. We're just going to bring our meeting tonight to a close. We're singing together the hymn number 201. 201 in the page 257 of the hymn book.
Hark, the gospel news is sounding. Christ hath suffered on the tree. Streams of mercy are abounding. Grace for all is rich and free. Now, poor sinner, come to him who died for thee. Boy or girl, young person, man or woman unsaved, oh, that you would heed even the words of the hymn writer. It says, now, poor sinner, come to him who died for thee. 201 will stand as we sing, and singing it with all of our heart, and thinking of the words as we sing them.